Good morning and happy new year to all the great listeners of the Locked On Patriots podcast. Mark Schofield here in the big chair for January 2nd, 2018. Hope you had a wonderful, safe, and happy New Year's holiday. Hope you got a chance to watch some of the games last night, the college football games. Those were amazing. At least the first one was. What's been sort of fascinating about how that Rose Bowl played out is we're getting a chance in real time to see recency bias at work. Baker Mayfield, good first half, couple of good plays late in the game, threw an interception, struggled in that third quarter. And now I literally saw a poll put up by Peter Kinn from Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback asking Browns fans who they should draft at the first overall spot. Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield. And wouldn't you know it, Josh Allen is, of course, winning that poll. That's recency bias at work, friends. Taking the entire body of work, throwing it out the window, looking at one bowl game from each of these guys and sort of making a determination. My thoughts on those two quarterbacks, I think, are pretty clear. Of course, I'll make them even more clear, or clearer, as it were, in the weeks and months ahead. But again, hope you had a wonderful New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. We're going to do a couple of things in today's show. First, a Black Monday recap. Lots of jobs now open in the National Football League. We're going to talk about those. And since this is Locked On Patriots, we're going to talk about those through a Patriots lens, because three Patriots assistant coaches are now being discussed in the mix for these jobs. Interviews have been requested from three current Patriots assistant coaches. So we're going to talk about those jobs. We're going to rank those jobs, at least how I view them. And we're going to talk about potential fits and the possibility that the Patriots might lose anywhere from one to three assistant coaches to head coaching gigs here this offseason. Also, Patriots obviously have a bye this week, but it's never too soon to start thinking about the divisional round game, which will be on a Saturday night in Foxborough. In the shows this week, we're going to break down the potential three opponents that the Patriots could play. And we're going to start with a look at the Tennessee Titans. So that's today's show. And I'm going to start with sort of the Black Monday recap. And I've got a recommendation for all the listeners to the Locked On Podcast Network. And that is my colleague over at InsideThePylon.com, Jeff Fair. He is at Jeff_Fair, F-E-Y-E-R-E-R, on Twitter. He has a Google Doc tracking NFL head coaching candidates. It's got multiple tabs on it. Guys on the hot seat. He's got coaching candidates grouped by sort of their level of experience. And of course, the main tab, which I'm going to focus on today, is the tracker that he has. Potential head coaching candidates, as well as the teams that they've been connected with in terms of being requested to have interviews with. Jeff also has a formula for sort of scoring the potential candidates. A formula that puts offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels at the top. Jeff sort of bases that on their age, their years, and stops as coordinators, as well as their previous head coaching experience. So I definitely suggest that you follow Jeff, check this out as well. But let's dive into the jobs that are open. And not really many surprises here in terms of the jobs that are currently open in the National Football League. John Fox let go as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Jim Caldwell, this might be the biggest surprise, I think. You know, he's fared pretty well over the past couple of years, at least by Detroit Lions standards. But it seems that the ownership group wants to kind of go in a different direction. You know, sometimes you just, as a head coach, you know, ownership sort of looks at the situation and wants to move in a different direction. They think that you may have not necessarily lost the locker room. I seriously don't think that's the case with Caldwell. But I think with Caldwell, it's time to look. It's run its course. Let's go in a different direction. Jack Del Rio, he's out at Oakland. Chuck Pagano, not really a surprise there. He's out in Indianapolis. Ben McAdoo, we knew he was gone, but that job's open. And finally, Bruce Arians. And I don't know if you got a chance to watch this. The video came out on Twitter, but Arians told the team in the locker room after the game that he was done and that he was walking away. And the team kept it under wraps until the following morning when he was able to address the media and make the announcement on his terms. And if you want an indication of how a group of players and assistant coaches feel about a head coach, consider the fact that that didn't leak. Nobody posted that video early. You know, that's the sign of a group of men, group of players and coaches and assistant coaches that have the utmost respect for Bruce Arians. And it was an emotional video. Arians did a piece with Lars Anderson over at the Athletic, talking about why he's walking away. And Arians basically said, "My son just turned 40 and it hit me that where did the time go? I missed my son basically growing up." You know, and as a dad, that sort of hits home, of course. But just an emotional sort of 24 hours for Bruce Arians. So that are probably the most surprising, I'd say, head coaching vacancy. But now we can turn to the potential replacements for these guys. And before we do that, I want to rank these vacancies sort of as I view them, best to worst. And it probably won't surprise you that the way I sort of rank these has a lot to do with what each quarterback room looks like. And yes, part of that is due to the fact that I'm a quarterback guy. That's my knowledge base. That's my skill set. That's what I know, or at least kind of know. But it also goes to the fact that figuring out the quarterback position is job one. Once you've got that figured out in some form, you can address the other pieces and things can fall into place. But until you've got the quarterback spot figured out, you're going to be behind the rest of the league. And so when I look at these jobs, I look at Chicago, I look at Arizona, I look at Detroit, Oakland, Indianapolis, and the Giants. To me, the most attractive gig right now is Detroit. Matthew Stafford had another very good year. From my perspective, he had a top eight type season as a quarterback in the NFL. I think Matthew Stafford is a player that at the quarterback spot you win because of, not win with. Like, he's a guy that can carry a team. And he basically almost carried this team that had trouble protecting him at times, that had trouble sort of establishing and maintaining a successful ground game. They were in playoff contention until week 16 when they couldn't get it done against the Cincinnati Bengals. And that's a game you'd expect them to win. Stafford still played fairly well in that game. They didn't make a ton of mistakes in that game. And so I think that's an extremely attractive job. You know, and when you look at Stafford's game against Cincinnati, statistically, at least in terms of quarterback rating, it was a bottom two game of the year for him, but still threw a touchdown, had one pick, which I did not put on him when I charted that game. So, but for the rest of the season, played at a very high level in terms of adjusted net yards per attempt. You know, Stafford was top 10 quarterback in that category this year. And now that's not the be-all and end-all of quarterback play, but it's part of it, and it's one of the better measuring sticks for gauging quarterback play. And so I think that Detroit job is very, very attractive. Next, I'd stay looking at the quarterbacks here, more of an experienced QB. I'd look at the Oakland Raiders job, Obviously, the big rumor there is John Gruden going to Oakland. You know, and if you look at the three Patriots candidates, none of them have been asked to come meet with the Raiders group, because it does seem like Gruden is getting that gig. And the interesting tidbit there is the rumor is that Gruden wants John Morton, the Jets offensive coordinator, to come with him and be the offensive coordinator for the Oakland Raiders. One of the problems I think the Raiders had this year under new offensive coordinator Todd Downing was their insistence on sort of a quick, short, horizontally based passing game. I think it sort of, in part, contributed to some of the regression we saw from Derek Carr. John Morton this year ran a West Coast / air raid type passing game that did a lot of the same stuff. So I wonder if that's the best fit. But I think that the Raiders gig is good because you've got Carr, who I think is a mid-tier quarterback, mid to lower tier quarterback this year, but there'd be a lot of teams that would be happy to have Carr, I think. So I think that's an attractive gig. Next, I look at Chicago and I look at Mitchell Trubisky, and I know that there are question marks about him right now. You know, he was a bottom 10 type quarterback when it comes to just the net yards per attempt. I think as far as the rookies go, obviously putting Patrick Mahomes aside, he only got the one start. I think he was the second best rookie quarterback this year behind Deshaun Watson. I think he was better than Kaiser for sure. And I think Trubisky showed signs of development there. And so I think that's an interesting gig. And we're going to star that because we're going to come back to that when we start talking about potential Patriots replacements at these head coaching spots. Next is Indy, and I know people might say, look, you've got Andrew Luck. Of course that's an attractive job. Yeah, but are we sold on Luck returning? Obviously, he had this year-end sort of press conference, and there was a phrase that he stated, there was a comment that he made, where one word was doing a whole lot of work in that declaration. That was this: I don't think I need another surgery. That think was doing a whole lot of work in that sentence. So I think that, no pun intended there, but I think that there's an issue with Luck, with his health, that they're going to have to consider addressing the quarterback position. I know they added Jacoby Brissett, who played admirably this year, and maybe they're fine with it, but it just seems like that's a bit unsettled. And that's why I sort of have the Indy job a little bit lower. But look, if you get Luck back, you've got weapons, you've got Hilton. Jack Doyle is a nice tight end. You could do some damage there. But I think you sort of need an offensive guy. So again, we're going to start this one. Next, the Giants. You got to figure out life after Eli. Is it Davis Webb? Is it Geno Smith? Is it a guy in the draft? After that, Arizona. And Arizona is a really intriguing job because that's a very good defense. Chandler Jones had a great year, led the NFL in sacks. It's a young, talented, aggressive defense. Question marks on the offensive side of the ball. Does Carson Palmer want to stay back, or does he walk away now? After that, you've got Drew Stanton, who played, you know, toughed it out near the end, playing without an ACL, apparently. Blaine Gabbert had some good plays, had more bad ones. So that might be an offensive rebuild. But Bruce Arians, more of a defensive-minded guy. So we'll star this one for a second for a reason you'll see in a minute. So those are how I sort of rank those gigs. Now, we're going to look at how the Patriots' three assistant coaches that have been talked about might match up with these. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. All right, let's talk now about the three Patriots' assistant coaches who have been linked to and had interviews encrusted with a couple of these open spots. And first, obviously, is offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. I don't really think it's any surprise that McDaniels is in the mix for a couple of these jobs. And part of that is, look, the NFL is a copycat league. This is something I've been saying for a while now. It's a copycat league with respect to the schemes on the field, the plays that are run. But it's a copycat league when ownership groups start to look around and wonder, why don't I have that? Why don't we have that? And I think a lot of teams are looking at what happened with Sean McVay and Jared Goff, and they want that. They want that relationship with an offensive-minded head coach and a young quarterback that needs time to develop and need some help in doing so. They want a guy that can come in and install some concepts that will help the quarterback grow while still being successful on the field and winning games. And I think for a lot of teams, they look at McDaniels, they see some of the schemes that the Pats are running, and they look at what McDaniels could possibly do with perhaps a young quarterback that they have or a young quarterback that they might need at some point or might rely on. And that's why looking at the spreadsheet Jeff has put together. Again, Jeff_Feyer, F-E-Y-E-R-E-R on Twitter. McDaniels has been linked with three spots so far. The Giants, the Colts, and the Bears. You know, and of those three, you know, the Bears job definitely sort of fits that mold because you've got a rising second-year quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky that showed some signs of development, but obviously you need to help him along because he's the guy you've sort of, you know, built the team around so far. You know, he's the guy that's going to be your quarterback you're hoping for the next 8 to 10 years. And so I think that job makes a ton of sense. Especially, look, you've got Ryan Place in position to be the general manager, to take some of that off of Josh McDaniels' plate. The other two spots, the Giants and the Colts, look, those are two teams that also have questions at the quarterback spot. With the Giants, you don't know how much longer Eli's going to be there. With the Colts, Andrew Luck's status is still up in the air. You hope to see him back next year, but if not, you've got Jacoby Brissett, who perhaps might be the guy you turn to yet again, who spent his rookie year with Josh McDaniels. So it doesn't surprise me that those are the three gigs that McDaniels has been linked to. I think the Bears one makes the most sense for him, but we'll see. Next, obviously, defensive coordinator Matt Patricia. And he's sort of been in the mix, as McDaniels has, for the past couple of years when it's off-season time and it's time to start thinking about new head coaches. You know, one thing that does sort of work against McDaniels, and it's crazy to have to say this, but the beard. You know, that will legitimately be a question that he's asked during the interview process. Look, you become a head coach, are you losing the beard? And it sounds crazy, but when Patricia was bandied about last year as a potential head coaching hire, Dan Hatman, a former NFL scout, now runs the Scouting Academy, worked with him over at Inside the Pylon, and he basically told us over at ITP when we were talking about potential landing spots, said, look, it's going to be an issue. Owners might not take kindly to that. It's okay as an offensive coordinator, that's fine. Or a defensive coordinator, that's fine. Head coaches held to a little bit of a different standard. But the jobs that Patricia has been linked to, I think make a pretty good amount of sense for him. First is Detroit. You know, and I think that, again, the Detroit job is one of the better gigs out there. But it sort of fits in the mold of coaching hires and how cyclical they can be at times. Teams that might have gone with an offensive-minded guy for a couple of years, maybe even longer, decide, look, we're going to go in a different direction, get a defensive mind in to sort of run things. Jim Caldwell offensive-minded guy. Started out as a wide receivers coach at Southern Illinois, offensive assistant at Northwestern, wide receivers coach at Colorado, wide receivers coach Louisville, quarterbacks coach Penn State, head coach at Wake. Then he comes back to the NFL, quarterback coach for a season, quarterback coach and assistant head coach with the Colts, then a head coach at the Colts, comes back as an assistant quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator for the Ravens for 2 years, and then back to being a head coach. He's an offensive-minded guy. Obviously, Matt Patricia with a different background. Patricia's also been linked with the Giants. Their former head coach is Ben McAdoo. And it's the same type of thing. You know, McAdoo, offensive-minded guy. Now, his past couple of gigs, he was an offensive coordinator for the Giants, quarterback coach for the Packers, tight ends coach for the Packers, offensive line coach and quality control coordinator for the offense with the Saints. Excuse me, with the 49ers. An offensive-minded guy. And then finally, the other gig he's been linked with is Arizona. Bruce Arians, an offensive-minded guy. You know, so that's why I sort of think these make sense. These are three landing spots that have some issues. I think Detroit's the best gig out of them, but they're all three landing spots that had offensive-minded head coaches. And what were some of the issues with the Lions this year? Well, it was the run game. You know, that's one issue. I mean, just one quick stat. Rushing offense DVOA over Football Outsiders, Detroit Lions 30th in the league. So you need to fix the run game. Defensive coordinators, defensive type guys might sort of bring that philosophy over. You got to run the ball, you got to stop the run, right? You know, so that's an issue that the Lions had. And then you look at the defense that the Lions had. You know, it's another issue that they're going to have to address. This was over at Football Outsiders in terms of DVOA, the 28th best defense in the league, 16th against the pass, 28th against the run. So the Lions need to figure out the defense. The Giants need to figure out the defense. In terms of DVOA, the Giants were the second best defense in the league in 2016. This year, they were 21st. 20th against the pass, 25th against the run. Giants need to figure out the defense. You know, and we talked about Arizona, how that's more of a young, talented, athletic defense. 11th against the pass, 1st against the run. And overall, they were 3rd in terms of DVOA. These are all DVOA numbers as a defense this year. So that's a very talented defense. But again, Bruce Arians was more of an offensive-minded guy. So if you believe in that sort of cyclical aspect to this, maybe they go from an offensive guy to a defensive guy. But I think in terms of the three gigs that Patricia has been associated with, the Lions and the Giants make more sense for him because they need to do more on the defensive side of the ball. Now, finally, the third Patriots assistant coach that has been linked with one team so far is Brian Flores, 36-year-old linebacker coach for the New England Patriots. And he's been linked with the Arizona Cardinals as well. Now, two things to consider here. One, Patriots tend to promote linebacker coach to defensive coordinator. That's kind of the way that they've done it in the past. I mean, Matt Patricia was their linebackers coach before becoming their defensive coordinator. And so I think for Flores, this is an opportunity to get that interview and experience to come in and make your pitch. How you would run a team, how you would take over an organization. You know, considering it's the Cardinals, you know, I'd be surprised if that would be the best fit for him. You know, given the fact that the defense is in pretty good shape, but maybe that makes sense because there wouldn't be a ton to do. I'm spitballing here. But I think for Flores, it's an opportunity to sort of get that that initial sort of interview experience, because there's no doubt in my mind he can be a head coach someday. You know, it might be a little bit early for him, but who knows? I mean, guys come in sometimes and just sort of blow an organization away and then decide to make the move with them. You know, so that's sort of how I look at these gigs. You know, I think for Flores, you know, it's a chance to sort of get the name out there. I'd look to him to really sort of establish himself as a true head coaching candidate in a couple of years once Patricia moves on. I expect both McDaniels and Patricia to move on. If I were to make a call sitting here January 2nd, I think Patricia to Detroit makes sense, and I think McDaniels to the Bears makes sense. So that'll be interesting. Imagine both of those guys headed to the NFC North. So that's been sort of a recap of both the head coaching gigs that are open as well as potential Patriots implications for them. Up next, we're going to dive into one potential divisional round opponent, the Tennessee Titans. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. Okay, let's dive into one of the potential Patriots matchups here for the divisional round. We're going to start with the Tennessee Titans, and wild card weekend is set, obviously. Games kick off Saturday afternoon, 4:35 Eastern. Titans at Chiefs, to be followed by Falcons at Rams on Saturday night. And then Sunday we get Bills at Jags. That's a 1:05 start, followed by Panthers at Saints, a 4:40 start, all Eastern Standard Times. That's a pretty good wild card weekend, all things considered, I think. I think both those NFC games have potential to be fantastic games. You know, that Bills-Jags game, a lot of it, I think, depends on LeSean McCoy's ankle, whether he can fully go or not. But we're going to start with that first matchup, Titans-Chiefs, and, you know, obviously, depending on who wins these games, that will determine who the Patriots play. No chance the Patriots play Jacksonville in the divisional round, but, you know, they'll play the lowest remaining seed, and that could potentially be the Titans, depending on how things shake out. And with the Titans, I think you have to start with Marcus Mariota at the outset, and not just because I'm a quarterback guy, but because Mariota was a guy that I really went to bat for this offseason, headed into this year, said, look, he was going to be a great quarterback. When we ranked quarterbacks to start the year over at Bleacher Report, the NFL 1000 quarterback list and rankings, he was my QB3 in the AFC after Brady and Roethlisberger. And the numbers were bad. You know, he threw 15 interceptions this year. Only DeShone Kizer and Cam Newton threw more. Threw only 13 touchdowns. You know, his ANY, it was near the, you know, it was not good. 23rd in the league. Above only Jacoby Brissett, Eli Manning, Mitch Trubisky, Cutler, Flacco. I mean, Mariota took a step back this year, and I think a lot of it was scheme, I think. And I think some of it, though, was he was dealing with a hamstring injury. You know, he did miss one start as a result, and I think the lower body injury sort of impacted his ability to throw, his ability to drive balls into tight windows. But I think we saw in week 17, Mariota can still be an effective quarterback. Obviously, that stiff arm on Barry Church caught a lot of eyes. You know, so there are some things that they can do offensively that if the Patriots end up playing them, you're going to have to be cognizant of. Obviously, Mariota's ability to extend plays, to make plays with his legs is something to consider. You know, Tennessee's one of the better run games in the league. Eighth over at Football Outsiders in terms of offensive DVOA and their rush ranking. A little bit lower against the pass, 20th in terms of throwing the ball. You know, but Mariota and the run game, those are going to be your focus if you end up playing the Tennessee Titans. Now, defensively, the Titans are an interesting defensive team. You know, because they're 24th against the pass in terms of DVOA, 7th against the run. They've been able to stop the run, but here's a little caveat to that. You know, they've also been really good against running backs this year. You know, if you look at sort of, if you want to judge things from a fantasy perspective, which sometimes does help to get a sense of where a defense is, they're one of the best defenses against running backs, at least from a fantasy perspective. They're giving up over on FanDuel, 19.9 points per game. If you want to just look at straight standard scoring, only 16.5. Those are all top 10 numbers against running backs. But the one caveat to that is what the Titans do to running backs as receivers in the pass game. They are dead last in terms of DVOA against receivers in the pass game. You know, and look at what's happened to them recently. Week 16, they play the Rams and Todd Gurley. What do you see? Gurley with two touchdown receptions, one on a 3-yard pass, one on an 80-yard screen pass. So there are ways to sort of attack that defense with running backs, not necessarily just straight up running the football, but using backs out of the backfield as receivers. And so if that is the matchup between these two teams, then I think there's a really good chance we see Rex Burkhead, if he's back, as well as Deion Lewis, having big games, catching the football. You know, so that's just a quick little tease about the Tennessee Titans, where they are as a team right now, how I think that could potentially match up with the New England Patriots. We're going to do this for each of the three potential teams the Patriots might play. Just a quick little teaser on these teams as we look ahead to divisional round. But that's your Tuesday edition of Locked On Patriots. Covered some Black Monday stuff, some coaching fits from a New England Patriots perspective. Quick teaser on the Titans. I'll be back tomorrow. We're going to dive into year-end quarterback rankings as well as take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs. That's tomorrow. Until then, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.